Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Axiata conference call. At this time, all participants are in the listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, the 26th of September, 2013. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Dato' Sri Jamaluddin. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you to all for joining us for this conference call this afternoon. We are here to make a major announcement. And of course, you have heard from, we have released to the Bursa the announcement, so you will be surprised. After all, this announcement is probably the best kept secret we have done so far. Everyone knew about this transaction way before us. Anyway, as you can see from the slide, I will go to some slide, then I will pass to James, our group CEO, 2FO, to take over from there. The rationale is pretty clear. This is a spectrum-based driver, although the benefits are not just about spectrum. And from our point of view, from Axiata's point of view, this is consistent with our long-term strategy for in-market consolidation. We've been talking about it for some time, and finally we have done in a bit in Sri Lanka, we have done in Cambodia, and now in Indonesia. So we are executing the strategy that we talked about for the last few years. In terms of our in relation to Axel, as I mentioned, this is a very important a strategy for us to acquire the spectrum. And we've been looking at for some time already all the alternatives. We have spoken to a couple of companies. We have also spoken to the principals of the respective companies, not one, more than one. And we have also been talking to the regulator how to resolve this. Now, obviously, from Excel perspective, it's not the end of the world. We don't get a spectrum because we could still roll out, but obviously, it's a lot more expensive in terms of having more sites. So page two, very quickly, as I said earlier, this is consistent with our strategy or in market consolidation. Also, we address the spectrum issue, and more importantly, how do we help us to provide high quality customer experience with a lower and more efficient CapEx spend. We hope the industry will also benefit from the better from this consolidation and improve market discipline. Indonesia is very important from our point of view. In fact, it's the growth market. We consider it still a growth market, and it's the second largest contributor for Axiata's revenue EBITDA. And our market position should be strengthened with this consolidation. This transaction highly highlights our prudent investment philosophy across multiple markets and market cycles. EPS is for Axiata and XL will be accretive in the medium term. Within the next 2 years or so. Group leverage impact mitigated since transaction is funded through a combination of our Axiata shareholder loan and Excel external debt. This transaction is perhaps one of its kind in terms of scale and complexity, but we are ready for it. From our Excel perspective, we have a strong management team, and we have already organized another team, a project team, to manage this whole transaction. From Axiata perspective, we have done the integration in Sri Lanka with Suncell and Dialog very successfully. And this year, we acquired Smart in Cambodia, and we merged it together with our company Hello. And so far, the result has been excellent, if I can use that word, better than what we had, even what we had planned for. So that's been, again, our testimony to our ability to merge and to integrate companies. If you look at slide two, basically to reemphasize what I've just said earlier, making this whole transaction will lead to consolidation for the industry and better market discipline, at the same time, reinforce XL leadership position. Slide four, a bit about the transaction structure. XL will acquire a 95% equity stake in Axis. The transaction structure itself, the consideration itself, is valued at 100% EV or enterprise value of $865 million on a cash-free and debt-free basis. And finally, we expect to, if a conditional SPA has been executed, it's subject to the following: obviously, regulatory approvals, subject to XL shareholders' approval, and definitely subject to us retaining the spectrum that we have been working on. With that, let me pass to James, who will go through with you the strategic and the financial benefits of this transaction.
Thank you, Dato. So I'll just run through the rest of the deck quickly before we get onto the Q&A. Slide five shows how we expect to see the value accrete over time. We haven't put numbers in the top three boxes because they're by nature a bit more subjective, and we do nevertheless have a view in value on those internally. But in terms of each of the boxes, in terms of access assets, there's 1,600 owned towers, which we've sort of valued at about $200 million. XL has evaluated the reuse or sale of these assets with appropriate tenancies. One thing I'm sure you're all aware is that XL's tower business, the SBU, has been pretty successful in the past, so has a cooler ratio of about 1.8. So that experience and knowledge has been put to good use in terms of the utilization of these towers. The overlap analysis shows that there is real value to XL in the towers moving forward. In addition to that, there's about $80 million of usable network equipment. And so this will obviously be put to good use in terms of the avoidance of duplicative CapEx. The next box is CapEx and OpEx savings. This is obviously a key benefit of the transaction in terms of savings associated with the additional spectrum. XL has estimated that 50 to 60% savings for incremental CapEx and OpEx spend associated with the deal. XL can also avoid cell splitting, so this will all contribute to an immediate 2G CapEx and OpEx saving of around $200 million, and medium-term savings on 3G of $200 million, and possible longer-term savings associated with eventual rollout of LTE of up to $400 million. The next box is spectrum book value. So given XL spectrum requirements, XL would have participated in any upcoming spectrum auctions. The cost of such acquisition could easily have been $250 million, possibly more. So this cost is obviously avoided. We had a useful benchmark in this with the 5 megahertz, which XL acquired earlier on in the year. The next box is QoS improvement in 2G and 3G uptake. So we think that XL's quality of service will significantly improve with the additional spectrum. Customers will have a much more positive perception of XL from a network experience perspective. I remember just 3 weeks ago I had a call with one of the people at XL, and we had 5 top calls in the space of about 20 minutes. So that there will be an immediate improvement in terms of network quality, both 2G and 3G. Obviously this should translate into customer uptake fairly quickly. Overall, the XL brand and network quality experience will help achieve a significant enhancement from a customer perception perspective. We believe that XL can transform the Indonesian mobile customer experience. The next block is short-term business benefits, you know, from AXIS. XL gets an additional subscriber base, which predominates in the youth segment, but has a position in all segments. So there's add-on revenues from that, and therefore multiple layers of synergies. And the last box is LTE, which I mentioned earlier, 1800 megahertz, is the likely where LTE will settle, and XL should be able to benefit from that from the LTE rollout perspective moving forward with that additional spectrum. Over the page, slide on transaction rationale. These are the key drivers for this transaction, as Dato's mentioned in earlier slides. So the key driver is spectrum benefits. And from an ASIATA perspective, we really see this as almost a must-do deal, and the alternatives would have been a lot more challenging, such as acquiring Hutch, which we always felt was likely to not meet many of our M&A criteria. And I've already mentioned an alternative approach via spectrum auction. So, from our perspective, this was always likely to be the best route. I think that we're also synergizing our cash as well, and I'll talk about that in terms of financing later on. Slide 7. It just shows the fundamentals from a spectrum perspective. We all know that Indonesia is growing very quickly in terms of sort of transformation to data. Smartphone uptake is very, very strong. People are gravitating fairly quickly from 2.5G BlackBerry over to Samsung and other smartphone brands. So there's an explosion in data traffic at the moment. The pricing remains challenging, but taking out one of the competitors in the marketplace should help improve that aspect. Obviously, there'll still be more work to be done in that area. But with the fast-growing middle class and the work that XL is doing in the market, in terms of developing a digital lifestyle brand, we think that there's a high degree of optionality in the XL position moving forward. So we are firmly behind this one. Over the page, the spectrum position. The most important thing to say about spectrum is that we're achieving spectrum parity with Telkomsel and Indosat with this transaction, this is a huge event in the evolution of XL. With 22.5 megahertz, XL is now absolutely at par with Telkomsel and Indosat in the 1800 megahertz band, and with 25 megahertz in the 2.1 band, XL will be a wee bit ahead of Telkomsel and Indosat. Although, obviously, as I said, spectrum parity across all the bands. XL is already recognized as a cost leader in Indonesia, as you can see from this chart. And with spectrum parity, we think that XL is superbly positioned to go for it in the future. Next slide, slide 9. XL's deployment efficiency, we believe, will go from very good in the past to exceptional. The management team, which has demonstrated outstanding performance over the last 5 or 6 years, remains largely intact. And we've had a choppy period over the last 18 months, mainly driven by very tricky competition. XL has carried on building a capability in data and digital services, which will see it through, you know, very well, especially with this new position with Spectrum. So, you know, overall, you know, we think that XL is very well positioned. One of the aspects is that you know, with the synergy coming through, we think that you know, CapEx can be guided down a bit. So XL have guided down to $600 million from $900 million in 2013. And this will flow through to 2014 in terms of boot CapEx. The next slide, slide 10, just shows the likely impact on 2G quality of service and 3G uptake. You know, mentioned this before, but you know, hard to model, but we nevertheless believe that there'll be an immediate improvement in QoS in both networks, congestion clearly being relieved in 2G, and we should see this translate through to customer perception and experience. Slide 11, you know, shows the you know, what Axis has done over the last couple of years. They've obviously been a challenger in the market. And they've done a pretty good job in terms of gaining a bit of traction, but clearly, you know, a tricky position to sort of build off. So, with the merger with XL, you know, we're acquiring a decent position in data, especially in the youth segment, and you know, increasing scale, which will obviously flow through to the bottom line over the next year and a half to 2 years in XL's books. So over the page, slide 12, you know, the tangible benefit from an XL perspective of Axis's asset base is clearly in the tower, 1,600 towers from Axis to XL, you know, immediate enhanced capacity and coverage, and immediate availability you know, these towers, obviously, and then in equipment in the active elements, RAN core and transmission, predominantly microwave. So $80 million of savings coming through from active elements. Slide 13 shows, you know, XL, you know, very much projected into the number two slot, you know, with you know, a market leadership position in many segments, you know, obviously, you know, driven by Spectrum and additional scale. Slide 14, just a bit more detail on the structure and the transaction. You know, XL's acquiring Axis on a clean, cash-free, debt-free basis, which basically means that the 865 is the EV of the transaction with cash-free, debt-free. The 865 million cash consideration gets put to you know, get you know, is used, is contributed to the pay down of debt on day one, you know, on completion. So, you know, this is clearly, you know, an important must-have for XL. The transaction is going to be debt-funded. Axiata will provide a shareholder loan for a mutually agreed size and tenure on an arm's length basis. Axiata is clearly, you know, cash rich. We've got a strong balance sheet, and it makes sense for us to keep our, you know, our gross debt EBITDA well within our chosen rating standing. So this will not have a material impact on our ratings banding. And, you know, obviously from an XL perspective, they will retain a degree of flexibility, you know, by accessing these funds from They're a 6-7% shareholder. So it's a win-win, approach on both sides. And obviously, we need to make absolutely sure that Axiata's minorities and XL's minorities are, can see that this is arm's length, and confirm that it is indeed win-win. So we will demonstrate that in a bit more detail as we progress over the next few months, through to completion. Over the page, slide 15. Just in terms of financial integration, it obviously has a top line impact. So revenue is enhanced. It reduces XL's capex spend immediately, and ensures XL is now investing for a profitable growth. This is a critical factor for profitability and success in the Indonesian telecoms industry. Leverage will increase by less than 2 times for a transaction of this scale and profile. And, XL is comfortably within covenants and ratings triggers. So this all translates to EPS accretive in the medium term. Axis negative EBITDA is mitigated by the tangible and immediate business benefits of the accelerated integration, which we will drive hard over the next few months. We would expect XL most likely to maintain its dividend policy, but that's obviously very much an XL view, and we will come to a closing session about that as part of our of their usual year-end process. So slide 16 shows the likely timeline, which we'd expect to take place over the next 3 to 4 months. XL is confident of receiving regulatory approval, and indeed, the regulator has already indicated, positivity towards the transaction, and we would hope that this should be a fairly quick process to get through to regulatory, approval. And XL will clearly need to convene an extraordinary general meeting, which is likely to take place sometime in November. So they're going to get on and, talk to the shareholders in due course about this. So overall, slide 17 shows that this is a tremendous deal, for XL, future-proofing its spectrum requirements, and making sure that XL's, superbly positioned to take up the challenges of the next medium to longer term. And the last slide on 18 is just, from an Axiata perspective, this is certainly, absolutely on strategy, as Dato just said. I think we've demonstrated an ability to integrate businesses in Cambodia and Sri Lanka. So we're working closely with the XL management team to make sure that we can replicate that success in Indonesia. We've already got a detailed integration plan, which we're ready to execute on. I've been working closely with Axis, XL management team to make sure that the ground can be hit running. Overall, the risks of this deal have been clearly identified, and there's an action plan, a very detailed action plan, to make sure that the risks can be mitigated. Overall, I think we should probably get into the Q&A now. We're ready to accept your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you,
ladies and gentlemen. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for a name to be announced. If you would like to cancel a request, please press the pound or hash key.
What?
first question comes from the line of Luis Hilado from HSBC Singapore. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the call and congratulations on the transaction. I just had two questions running off from the Excel call earlier. The first question is regarding Excel. Is there any guidance in terms of the amount of exceptional write-offs in terms of network redundancy and manpower redundancy that may result from acquiring Axis? And would you aim to provide for that number in the year-end 2013 results already? And the second question is just housekeeping one. The shareholder loan is a pure loan. None of it is convertible to equity.
I'll tackle the part of the first question and the second question, and I'll hand over to my Excel colleagues for a bit of detail on the first question. But at the moment, we will talk to the market about some aspects of the more detailed integration plan, but we're not keen to dive into too much detail at the moment. We don't expect any material write-offs at this stage. The second thing, or the second question I think you put to us was on a possible convertibility of the shareholder loan. That is absolutely not on the cards. This is a simple shareholder loan with flexibility, most likely with a 1 to 2 year tenure, and can be renewable or renewed by Excel upon mutual agreement with Axiata. And Adlan or Wim, would you like to comment on the on any detail on the first question? Okay. Apparently, we've actually lost the Excel team for the time being. They're going to dial back in a minute. So I think we should move on to the next question.
Okay. Thanks, James.
Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. Next question comes from the line of Rama Maruva from Daiwa. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon. I have two questions again for the Excel team. One is with regards to the deal structure. Just wanted to understand this better. What liabilities will be assumed by Excel post the closing of the deal? I understand the $865 million is for the debt. Are there any additional liabilities? And how much of it is cash and non-cash? The second one has to do with restructuring charges. Will they be borne by Excel post-closing, or would it be done before that? And within this, are there any working capital outpayments, unusual working capital outpayments that need to be borne by Excel come 2014? Thank you.
So thank you for the question. This deal, the way you need to think about this deal is that it is $865 million EV on a cash-free, debt-free basis. So basically, we will not be consolidating material, incremental balance sheet balances from a liability perspective. There is a target working capital position with an adjustment which may result in no more than $40 million worth of additional adjustment. Hopefully that's clear. We can give you a bit more detail, but it's basically debt-free, cash-free at $865 million. Okay, next question.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Arthur Pineda from Citigroup. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks for the call. Two questions for me. First, can you help me understand how the deal can actually be EPS accretive within 2 years? It seems like it's massively loss-making on the EBITDA and bottom-line level. With the absorption of the $865 million in debt, Won't that raise expenses as well? Secondly, based on the acquisition, we may be seeing initial earnings dilution for FY14. Given that Axiata is bankrolling XL's debt, would there be any bandwidth for you to continue to grow your dividends beyond 75%? Is there room for you to stabilize DPS, for example, given that EPS would likely be pulled down, at least in the first year? Thank you.
Okay, I'll tackle this from an Axiata perspective, and then if my XL colleagues are on the line, then I'll hand over to them. So on the first point, in terms of EPS accretive, what the plan is to assume on completion a certain level of cash burn. Axis, as you will know, is EBITDA negative. Over the next 3 months, or whenever the completion takes place, there will be a lot of effort put into both sides to bring that number down considerably. But nevertheless, we would expect to see the EBITDA, the sort of cash negativity associated with EBITDA negativity deplete down over a sort of 12 to 15 month basis, and then turning the table in terms of EPS, accretive during the course of 2015. From an Axiata perspective, dividend. Sorry, in terms of dividend policy, we do not expect this to impact Axiata's ongoing progressive dividend policy. So we will expect to see no change in that regard. It doesn't impact us. So XL, Adlan or Wim, are you online now?
Yeah, we are back online. We were somehow kicked off. Just for the record, we were not using the XL network, but we were using the network of a certain incumbent operator. Louis, back to your question. Is there any guidance on exceptional write-offs in XL? We do not have the intention of writing off anything in XL. Instead, what we are trying to do is right-sizing Axis and anything that needs to be addressed and fixed word in the Axis P&L and balance sheet as early as possible. So we are not anticipating any extraordinary write-off in XL.
Wim, on a second, on another question on EPS accretion within 2 years. The question is how do we do it?
Oh, sorry, we didn't get a question because I think that probably happened. let's say looking at current projections and let's say the first outline of the integration plan, we will see an immediate addition to the top line, but given the fact that Axis is currently operating on an EBITDA negative basis, we will need to do cost synergies and take out some of the cost and probably take out some of the unprofitable segments to transform the negative EBITDA into a positive one. Likewise, Axis is clearly currently running at a loss at bottom line. So there also, by turning around the EBITDA performance and also rationalizing the balance sheet, we should ultimately be looking at revenue that is also bottom line profitable. So the top line accretive, it will be top line accretive immediately. I think EBITDA neutral to positive probably within a year or so. And I think EPS accretive probably, I would say, medium term is what we are currently guiding for. And done by rationalizing the business, retaining the profitable segments, and cutting that what is not profitable.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your questions. The next question comes from the line of Anand Ramachandran from Barclays. Please ask your question.
Yes, hi. Congratulations on the transaction. My questions are probably Excel-centric. First, you are refinancing the debt. Can I ask why? I mean, is this because the debts are due for repayment or the cost of funding is too high? So what drives you to think about refinancing, and what drives how much you want to refinance, i.e. 200 million, 400 million, so some color into that. So that's question number one. Question two, if I think about the extent of EPS dilution, just thinking about a 6 to 7% cost of debt on that 865 million, that's about 50 to 60 million, and that's about, I don't know, about 20% of current consensus estimates for PBT for 2014. So is this broadly the right way to think about it? Thanks.
Yeah, just I'll tackle the first one quickly, and then Excel, if you've got additional comments. I don't think you should view this as a refinancing. The 865 million, the cash proceeds, is being used to settle the debt, the outstanding debt, including certain external creditors. This is not the acquisition of these liabilities, and then the application by the acquiring entity of that debt and settlement of the debt liabilities. So it's not a refinancing. In any case, it makes perfect sense for us to use group resource in the way that I've described. You know, Asiata Holdco is sitting on cash resources, and it makes sense for us to synergize that cash on an arm's length basis, as I said before, so that it's a win-win deal from both an Excel minority and an Asiata minority perspective. And Excel, Wim, do you want to tackle the other question?
Hello. Anand, hi, Adlan here. I think we said a lot about EPS, and I think we are looking at EPS accretive more in the medium term. And essentially, I think if you look at, let's say, based on historical per se, where EBITDA, in terms of the dilution of EBITDA at present, roughly is... So if you look at ETF dilution, accretion moving forward, it really depends to the extent that we are able to turn around access and how quickly we can accelerate the integration and really realize the synergies and benefits that will come through. Based on what Wim have actually stipulated on, based on the integration plan that we have, we're looking at making it EPS accretive in the medium term, and that we're looking within 2 years or so.
Okay, sir. Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your questions. Next question comes from the line of Janice Chong from S&P Capital IQ. Please ask your question.
Hi. I've just got one question. You mentioned earlier on that the 865 million is on cash-free and debt-free basis, and that the balance sheet of Axis will not be consolidated in Excel. Yeah, that, could you elaborate that on that? Thanks.
The balance sheet is being consolidated in the way that we've described. So the assets, the tower assets and so on, will be merged into Excel. But what I meant by that comment is that the liabilities and the liability side will not be consolidated. So it's only a partial consolidation. And that's why it's described as cash-free, debt-free. I don't know if you want to elaborate further, Wim or Adlan.
I think this was probably a reference to something that was said when we were temporarily dropped off the line. But I think it's pretty much as you said, James. What we are looking at, the 865 that we will be paying will be used to pay down liabilities that are currently on the Axis balance sheet. Any other liabilities, payables, and whatever else is sitting on the balance sheet will be taken care of by Tele Global. So that means that upon closing, that balance sheet will be clean. So that also means that, let's say, when we would have to assume consolidation, which will be post-closing, that we are looking at a balance sheet of Axis that is materially different from the current balance sheet.
Okay, which means, just to reiterate, so you're looking, you're saying that the liabilities will be sort of, will not be reflected at all because it's taken care by both existing shareholders and XL, and the $865 million write-off of that. But the what you're reconsolidating going forward is the assets of Axis. Is that right?
Yeah, but let's say we'll also be looking at that because let's say there might be some rationalization as well. So essentially, I think what I'm saying is that on the liability side, everything that is sitting there now will be taken care of. So we take the entity on a cash-free, debt-free basis. And also what needs to be done in terms of restructuring on the asset sides, we will try to have that done as much as possible prior to closing, so that upon consolidation post-closing that we are looking at a clean balance sheet. So what exactly the numbers are going to be and how they're going to look like, I think is premature to comment on, but that's the approach.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your question. Next question comes from the line of Stephen Liu from Standard Chartered. Please ask your question.
Hi, thank you. I have two questions. The first regarding the spectrum, what kind of spectrum can you bring from the acquisition of Axis? How is nationwide or just for local spectrum? The second question regarding any, I think you have 1600 tower from the Axis. How would you to integrate the existing tower with the existing tower and the infrastructure going forward? Thank you.
Wim, do you want to have a go answering that one?
Let me try. I think with spectrum, we are looking here at Axis is holding 15 megahertz in the 1800 band and 10 megahertz in the 2100 band. What we are looking at is essentially retaining that spectrum. So that is one condition in the CSPA. That spectrum will need to be retained as it is, as the whole deal is structured around the spectrum itself. So we are working closely with the regulators and prevailing authorities to ensure that that we end up as much as possible in line with that objective. Well, your second question, the line was not completely clear, but I think you asked a question on what we tend to do with the 1600 towers. Those towers we will be adding to our existing tower portfolio on the short term. So essentially those towers will be able for, let's say, leasing out to third parties. We would also be willing to consider selling those towers or any part or whole of our existing tower portfolio, provided that a sale and lease back transaction would, from financial perspective, make sense to us. So it would need to be a value-enhancing transaction.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your question. Next question comes from the line of Niraja Natarajan from Nomura. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks. I just had one clarification on the CapEx saving of about $300 million. So on a cash CapEx basis, we should expect this to come through in, say, 2014 rather than this year. Is that what it is? Because I think for 2013, you said XL CapEx is going to come close to $8 trillion. That doesn't change too much versus the guidance.
That understanding is correct. So the guidance for this year will remain unchanged, and we will end up on the lower end of that range. With reducing the commitment level this year from 900 to maximum 600 now, so a reduction of 300, that impact we are going to see next year in both the cash-out capex as well as in the capitalized capex, so that what will be capitalized in the balance sheet. So there is not any sizable impact on the guidance for this year, but the full impact we are going to see in 2014.
All right. And I think in terms of Axis, are you able to share the EBIT losses for 2012?
We would be able to do so, but I think it's probably not appropriate to do so at this point in time. We do not own the company yet, but I think it's... suffice to say that the EBIT losses so far have been quite material. So clearly, I think we are looking at doing some restructuring prior to consolidation here.
All right, thanks very much.
Thank you for your questions. The last question comes from the line of Claire Chin from COSA. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Two questions from me. Firstly, looking at slide 12, where you talk about availability of 16,000 towers for resale, reuse or sale. I mean, you know, XL has been talking about tower sale for a very long time. I'm just wondering whether this, statement here in the slide, is it a realistic expectation for this to happen over the next 12 months? That's the first question. The second question is now that XL will most likely get double the amount of spectrum as it has today, could we expect XL to be looking to launch a new brand and or to also potentially, you know, lower some tariffs to enable it to compete more effectively with Hutch? Thank you.
Clem, are you okay to answer this one?
Thanks, Claire, for the questions. Whether or not we would sell any towers within 12 months, I think at this point in time there is no plan, but it is also not impossible. I think our view has been for the last 5 years that towers are not a too strategic asset for us, so we are willing to keep them and operate them ourselves, or alternatively we are willing to sell them and lease them back. So those 1,600 towers are now coming in addition to our own roughly 8,000 towers. And so the whole portfolio essentially is, let's say, we will continue operating it and leasing it out to other operators and making some revenue on the back of it. However, if we would be approached by someone who would have interest to buy some part or whole of the towers, on the basis where a sale and lease back actually would make sense to us, we will be interested. But I think we are a bit in more in passive mode here. I don't think that we are actively going to reach out anytime soon and try and sell the towers. But if there is, if there would be an interested party who would reach out to us with a proposal that would make sense, we would definitely be willing to take a close look at that. On your second question, are we going to launch a new brand? I don't think so, because with the acquisition of Axis, we are getting an additional brand already. So on top of that, I don't think we are going to do anything else. In fact, I think in the earlier call, there was a question on our views regarding brand going forward. And I think what I mentioned is that we like the flexibility that we are getting now, where we can decide to go with a single brand going forward, or where we can conclude to move forward with dual brands. I think it's highly unlikely that we would introduce a third brand besides the XL and Axis brand. Would we lower tariffs to compete more effectively with Hertz? We are in this business to try and build a sustainable position and also build sustainable value for our shareholders. And we have a certain view on how to do that. And I actually don't think that trying to compete to Hertz with a similar approach as Hertz is using, that it actually fits in the objective of building a sustainable business and creating value for our shareholders. So the short answer on that question, I think, is no. That's not what we consider.
Okay, just to follow up on the two brands you have now, could you just remind us how would you be positioning these two brands going forward?
That is not something I want to comment on right now. First of all, because the transaction has not closed, so for now the Axis brand remains an Axis, and Axis remains in a separate entity until the point of closing, and that's, I think, where we can start looking at forms of alignment cooperation. Doing that prior to the closing would potentially get ourselves in trouble with the KPPU, the anti-monopoly, or the competition monitoring body. So short term, we will not be doing anything. Longer term, I think for now, we prefer to leave it open where or not brands next to each other, or that we would seek for ultimate alignment into one single brand. So I think that's a topic that we probably will discuss going forward, but not at this point in time.
Okay, I understand. Thank you, Vin.
Thank you for your question. Once again, if you would still like to ask a question, please press star 1 and wait for a name to be announced.
Yeah, I think we've only got time for one more question now. If there is one.
Nope. There are no further questions at this time. I'll hand the call back to Dr. Sri Jamaluddin for any closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you again for joining us for this announcement. Obviously, if there are other questions, as usual, you can address to our team, both either the Excel team or the Aljaka team. We'll be very happy to answer all any other further questions or more detailed questions. Again, thank you very much for joining us, and hope to see you all or have a chat with you all again in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude our conference for today. You may now disconnect the lines. Thank you.